Welcome to But Why Though, the podcast, a roundtable conversation about all things pop culture. I'm your host, Alex, and I am joined this week by Matt.
Oh, hello.
And Jason.
You're not used to going first.
I'm not used to going first. Threw me off.
That's fair. And this week, we are going to be talking about sci-fi, specifically things where humans go to space or things from space come to humans in the form of a bracket. This is purely a rule of cool. What do we like and what do we like about these movies and these properties? But we will get into the specifics of the bracket later. First, let's talk about what we all enjoyed this week. What do you guys have? What was good?
I've been playing Pocopia. I don't know how you say it.
But there you know,
the Pokemon Animal Crossing, however one even describes this game. I'm really annoyed at us for giving it a 10 out of 10 because it convinced me to buy it, and now I've spent so many hours playing it. It's great. It's like
so it's, it was worth the rating then.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's so simple and chill, and like yes, every once in a while I'll run out of something to do, but then it just is like, okay, fine, stop playing after you've been playing for so many hours and come back later. And like, you know, for those unacquainted or who haven't done their due diligence and read our review, it's like you play as a Ditto who replicates their once human partner when all the humans in the world have disappeared, and you have to, like, you know, create little habitats for Pokemon to repopulate the world with. And
This is after the collapse of civilization.
Yeah,
Matt.
All of the towns in the game are like destroyed, rundown versions of towns from the Red and Blue games.
Even better. Even better.
It's like really funny as a concept, but also like the gameplay is just like go around and plant plants and make houses for the Pokemon and make everyone happy. And
it's very satisfying.
Time. There's like 300 in it, which is
there's
also
how
great.
Many?
There's like more than 300 Pokemon.
Oh. Okay, yeah, my wife's been playing it, and I've been watching her. I'm like, yeah, this is great and very chill. I do have an important question. Did it convince you to also buy a Switch 2, or did you already have the console?
I already had one.
Okay, because I've seen people online who are like, this game can't be worth the like $570 I would need to spend, right?
I keep debating I keep debating it. Probably won't do it because I know I'll probably play it for 200, 300 hours, and then I'll never touch my Switch again. But I've thought about it.
It is the first game that I bought for it, other than what it came with.
Okay.
Because I was holding out, I was like, all right, look, it came with Mario Kart. I'm gonna wait till I to spend $70 because it should not none of these games
they're
should $80
cost $70. Now, get them right.
Whatever the heck amount they cost is too much and not how much they should cost. But I was like, let me finish some of the games that I actually never finished on my original Switch. My original Switch died, and that's what really convinced me to get the new one. And so this is the game that I finally broke my I'm not gonna pay 70 80 whatever dollars for, and just gonna pretend that I didn't spend that much money and say it's worth it.
There you go.
It from what everything I've seen, both like watching my partner play the game and talking to people and reading online, is that unfortunately this game is worth it.
Yes, I know Kate's been playing a ton of it. She's addicted to it. She hates how much she feels like a bad mom when her Pokemon are just laying in the grass. She's like, I need more time. I'll be there.
The good thing is that unlike in Animal Crossing, the people don't get, like, the Pokemon don't get mad at you when you ignore them. They're always happy and always positive, and that's kind of nice. It doesn't make me feel guilty because they're being very, like, oh my gosh, you're my best friend and thanks for coming to say hi to me. And they never get mad at you for not.
You sleep on a branch. With three leaves. I guess I don't really have. I guess March Madness officially started. It was great. Kate had kind of watched a little bit, but not much in years past. And finally, she decided to watch with me. I don't really watch a lot of college basketball, but I usually always at least opening weekend, great. And then depending in the second weekend, usually pretty good. And then after that, it's like, if I still care for the team, we'll check it out, you know, follow. But no, I don't think people understand sometimes of having 15 games on basically a day for like 4 days straight is crazy.
Yeah, that's fair. Do I have something? I think my big thing that I've enjoyed, and this is going to sound like a cop-out, but over the weekend I went to a bunch of like local small stores for like board games and comics and stuff like that. And I just really appreciate those niche spaces, specifically the game shop that I go to, because it's the closest that I have seen to a third space in a while that isn't a coffee shop, where it was just like so many people in there playing games together. They have like games you can check out, you can bring your own in, there's people playing Magic, doing tournaments, whatever. But yeah, just going to like a well-traveled game store with a lot of people in it was a really fun thing to see. And I think also seeing a game store that focuses on having knowledgeable staff, like they have demo tables up throughout the store. They have like signs up for like, if you are looking for a two-player game, these are the two-player tabletop games that we have. And yeah, I just like game stores. My comic shop I've been to going there for over a decade at this point. Also good. Also very knowledgeable, but not maybe. I'm going to revise it. I don't care about local spaces. I care about local game stores. Go to your local game store and support it.
Wow.
That's my
wow.
thing. Also support your local comic shop. That'll be my thing next week.
There you go.
But if I talk about comics, I'm going to talk about Ninja Turtles, and I can't do that on this episode. But yeah, that's my thing. So before we get into this bracket, where can people find you online, assuming that you want to be found?
I'm at Budweiser. There you go. I was jumping the. You know, Jason, get out of the way. I've been pushed out to be first. Going first.
I forgot you were first. Go.
I know. Threw me off here. Budweiser.net. I have some DDC coverage that should be out. I know Kate and I went there. I think I was on the previous episode, but we are still coming out with coverage, you know, as things are embargoed and thus staggered.
Mostly just on Letterboxd these days for me. I think it's just my name or something like that. You can see me saying how great Martin Scorsese's New York, New York is. It's my most recent log from a couple hours ago. Can't believe that song wasn't nominated for an Oscar.
Don't know.
Not even nominated.
You don't... the song New York, New York...
I don't like New York.
It's like...
But you like the song New York, New York. You love it.
Do I?
Everyone loves it.
Sure. Okay, I love it. My bad, guys. I do love it.
There's a really high chance you've at least heard the song at
some point. I'm assuming I probably have. It's sitting around. But yes, I'm glad New York,
I'm sure
New
you've
York.
Never been to a Yankees game, though, so I forgive you that at least.
No, I have not.
Fair. And yeah, you can find me on Blue Sky at Most Always Alex. That's the only place that I am. And with that, let's get to this bracket. So this is, we're doing this because space stuff is happening. Jason, I feel like you had a better handle on what space stuff is happening than I did.
Yeah, the Artemis 2 rocket is currently scheduled to launch on April 1st, which by the time you're hearing this, maybe it's happened. Maybe it hasn't yet. Maybe it's not going to happen for who knows how much longer. But Artemis 2, it's the first manned moon mission since the 70s. This is like a orbital mission to like test blah 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 stuff
for an actual landing.
Hold on, yeah, so are we trying to Apollo 13 this, where we're just gonna fly around the moon and come back?
Well, 13 was supposed to land. This is more 8, I believe.
Well, I mean, 13 did just have to come around and come back.
That's
yes.
what it ultimately did. Yes,
this is an intentional Apollo 13.
They had, I believe, like Apollo 8. Was what this mission's equivalent is, where it was just, it went around the moon and back and was testing various capacities in the rockets before they went to 11 and started landing. There's currently two like landing missions scheduled for 2028. The reality is that I'm going to be in Florida next during the week that this might happen, and I just really hope that it's the one day that I can go is the one day that actually they launch the rocket so I can go see it happen. But
that would be cool.
I mean, the good news is there's a lot of places along that beach where you can actually see that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like my favorite thing when I'm watching space movies is not necessarily the like thing that happens. It's the part where all the people in the Space Command Center cheer because they did it. So like, I want to go see that.
Yeah.
Also, we're what, like 2 weeks now from Project Hail Mary came out.
Yeah.
Mario Galaxy movie's coming out soon. There's a bunch of just like space stuff in the culture right now. So we figured why not
cool.
talk about space. Exactly.
Love that. So yeah, I took that inspiration and I just made a bracket of cool stuff from movies where humans go to space or things from space come to us. So this is four categories: spaceships, friendlies, technology, and hostiles. And we're just going to talk about what we think is cool, what we liked about these properties and these things, and we're just gonna purely rule of cool as far as what wins each round.
And there's only one per thing before we get blasted.
Oh yeah, there's only one thing per franchise.
We pick this. Also, yes. Can we?
Because yeah, otherwise we could have filled this out with like just Star Trek shit or just Star Wars. Round one, spaceships. We have the Heart of Gold from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy up against the Pillar of Autumn from Halo. Now, I will say, as far as ships go, I know significantly less about the Pillar of Autumn. Other than that, I have walked through it and killed aliens in it.
Many aliens.
I love that you just picked the most random ones for here. So Alex put this bracket together for everybody. So if you have a problem with the bracket, remember, blame him, not us.
I put it together. I also sent it to both of you like a week ago and said, feel free to change these.
I've had a lot going on.
True. Me too. I take no umbrage.
Taking the Pillar of Autumn, are we picking right now? I'm taking the Pillar of Autumn just because I like Halo better than Hitchhiker's Guide. But I really do enjoy Hitchhiker's Guide, though. And that's what sucks. I just don't think the spaceship's
that. Here's my argument for the Heart of Gold, because I'm going to pick Heart of Gold and make Jason be the tiebreaker here. Heart of Gold is not inherently a machine for war. and also, Heart of Gold has the improbability drive. And I do like shenanigans, so I feel like I prefer the Heart of Gold as a ship. You also get Marvin with it, I assume, to some degree. For those of you who don't know Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the Heart of Gold is a spaceship that is stolen by the President of the Galaxy. Is that Zaphod's title, technically?
Something like that, I believe.
It has an improbability engine that just will do the most activate it and it does the most improbable thing, which can be like teleportation, changing things around you into other things. It's just weird, but I like the Heart of Gold better than the Pillar of Autumn.
Yeah, but like the Heart of Gold just looks like an eyeball.
That's kind of fun.
It's a giant sphere. Like the Death Star, but good, I guess. That we're going
But isn't the Pillar of Autumn just a long squarish like thing?
It's got some texture to it.
I don't have a strong attachment to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I remember, though, being obsessed with the opening song in the movie, with the So Long and Thanks for All the Fish dolphins. Mm. When I saw the movie as a child, I still think about those dolphins fondly now and again. But I have, like Matt, much more attachment to Halo, even if the Pillar of Autumn is just a long ship. Oh. It's filled with grav lifts. And
grav lifts are cool.
When I learned you can't do a grenade jump skip in the Heart of Gold, so like
you might be able to. We haven't tried.
True.
We can advance the Pillar of Autumn.
With the improbability drive, maybe it actually helps, because I've only done the grenade jump skip like maybe twice. But I have a lot of fondness for the times I've spent fending off hordes, waves of, I guess they're elites, because it's really in Halo 1 that I'm thinking of. Mm. There's like that one big room just like where the ships keep landing inside of it.
Yeah,
that's the one I think of the most.
Halo's a good game.
Sure is.
Okay, Pillar of Autumn moves on, but Heart of Gold, very good. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, very good.
Keep it at our hearts.
Next spaceship battle, there's the Space Hotel from For All Mankind, and there's the Flossin Paradise from Fifth Element, which I'll explain the Space Hotel and why that counts as a spaceship, and then Matt, I'll let you talk about the cruise ship hotel thing from Fifth Element. The Space Hotel is basically, I think it's in season 3 of For All Mankind, they're like, we got to go to Mars, and they're trying to figure out how to do it and like the difficulty of getting something that big up. And then, or maybe this is in season 4, but eventually I think they just decide to strap rockets to the hotel that's in Earth's orbit and just rocket that to Mars. And it's like, you know what? That is this dumb? Absolutely. But also I kind of love it.
A good argument. I have no knowledge of either of these things, so this is purely you're convincing me which one to vote for.
Okay, so one, The Spitz out for one, I think, what's it called? The Hugh Laurie Show did the Space Hotel thing way better for the Cruise Line stuff than for All Mankind, which I can't remember what the name of that ship is. But when they get knocked off trajectory, I'm still sad that show had to die because of the pandemic, because that show was amazing. What the heck is it? I think it's like 8 or something like that, or Figure 8, or Section 8. I don't remember what it's called now. But no, I think that one's better. But the Fifth Element one is basically a cruise ship that just orbits a tropical world. And so you just kind of hang out and you just do whatever, and then you go to the beach.
Yeah, you can go see the opera. Yeah. You can go fight aliens. I think, while I really enjoy For All Mankind, I do think that Fifth Element is a significantly cooler, more fun place.
Yes.
And so that's my vote.
I'm going Fifth Element because I liked Fifth Element way more than For All Mankind. And now I'm trying to remember what the Hugh Laurie show is.
It is called Avenue 5.
Avenue 5, there
oh,
we go.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
Producing mid-episode, as I was born to do. I guess I don't have to break any ties, and it sounds like I just need to go watch The Fifth Element.
It's got Bruce Willis, it's got Chris Tucker, it's got Mila Jovovich, I believe.
Here's my problem. Mm-hmm. I think when I was in high school, or whenever, there was a movie called The Fourth Kind that also starred Mila Jovovich, and I got these movies confused with each other, and one of them's good and one of them's bad. Let's just leave it there. As far
that's,
as
you know, that's
the internet has, as my, I was Googling this before we started, really, really stark difference in their Rotten Tomato scores.
Matt has put in the chat a picture of Gary Oldman in The Fifth Element.
Yes, I was going to say, Gary Oldman plays the weirdest looking character bad guy ever.
Basically, he has a side shave, but then he has like a plastic clear cap over it.
No idea.
Yeah, I'm convinced I should watch this yesterday.
It's I think the thing I appreciate about The Fifth Element is that it is so confident in its visuals, regardless of if they actually work, that it ends up working anyway.
Yeah. This guy, it's like, Gary this looks Oldman's nuts, character's but it's name good. Is Jean Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg.
And doesn't he also have like a thick Southern accent?
Yeah,
am
it's
I
very
misremembering
weird.
That?
Like I said, this is just a French sci-fi movie that ended up doing, or I guess, French, English language, but French sci-fi from my understanding. That's just absurd.
I'm all
it
aboard.
Really is.
I'll watch it and report back.
There you go. I'm excited.
Please do. You guys want to do technology next or friendlies?
Don't matter. Let's go.
All right. Avatars from the movie Avatar. So specifically the printed out 3D bodies that they pilot versus the replicator from Star Trek, which is the thing that just kind of prints whatever you want, but mostly they use it to make tea, is my understanding.
I'm picking Avatar because, one, I like Avatar way more than Star Trek. And Avatar bodies are way cooler than I can print tea.
But it can print anything.
But they can even print an avatar.
They could print an avatar, which doesn't that make it cooler
that
than the avatar?
A really good point.
Ooh, I think that actually gives it to the replicator. You could just print the whatever avatar you want and go from there. I don't know that that's actually how the replicator works, but in my mind, it's how it works.
I think the only challenge with the replicator is generally they're the size of a microwave. So you'd probably have
the
like
body just slowly comes out.
I was picturing a mini avatar, but I like the image of an avatar slowly coming out.
It's gonna come out
first.
Like a mattress, you know those mattresses they seal?
Yeah, exactly.
And then it comes out slender, and then you cut them open, and then it just shoots out.
Oh, so in your mind, you open the microwave door, and a body just rockets out.
No, it slides out compressed, and then you have to slice it and then hope you don't get hit.
Okay, and then it just inflates.
It's just dehydrated Vrang, and then you gotta add water.
The other day, my Instagram algorithm did suggest to me a video that was, it was just a compilation of people getting injured by mattress
unboxing. I've seen that video. It's great. That's what I thought of.
Oh my
I was like,
gosh.
It's there. Like, there is one person who I do think got knocked out because from the look of it, the side of the mattress caught them in the head and threw them back into the wall.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh yeah, that's a concussion. Like that, you're not walking away from that in great shape. Okay, so I don't know who we're giving it to at this point.
I mean, my vote is the replicator, both because you can make an avatar, et cetera. Like my fondness for the Avatar movies, I've always liked them, but 3 is actually where, like, even though I think it's not, in a lot of ways, it's like lesser than 2, but better than 1, but they're all have their different things to it. But like, it's the one where it finally clicked for me, where like I felt by the end, like I'm communing with Iwa too. Like I get this movie.
I'm so glad you finally arrived. You're like, one of us. I love it.
Yeah, I never had an issue with them or like was one of the like the mockers or haters, but like I like really clicked on this one, and I hope Jim makes 20 more. But yeah, and like Star Trek is I've seen all of the movies and I've seen like pieces of shows, but I've not it's really the movies are where my connection lies, and those are not always as strong as some of the shows are. And nonetheless, yeah, I mean the replicator can make anything, so I gotta go there.
Yeah, I gotta give it to you. I'm gonna say the replicator specifically only if it can make an avatar.
Wow, you all are disgrace to AWA.
But the replicator can make AWA.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so this next round, this is going to take some explaining. So number one, stargates. And stargates are literally just controlled. Like, we generate a wormhole. We go through it. It comes out somewhere else. There's a limit on it where, like, you have to dial out to make the connection. And so, like, in the TV show, they have, like, a big gate over the one on Earth so that people cannot just dial in and let themselves through. But it's literally just instant space travel technology. You build a Stargate on whatever planet you want. You connect it to the network. You go. Versus, and what I wrote here is the ending of Independence Day. specifically, the combination of hacking aliens with a Mac laptop and Randy Quaid flying into an alien laser and blowing up the ship as a result.
This all came from, we just decided that Randy Quaid is not human. He's just technology.
I kind of want to give it to Independence Day here only because it's always been so absurd.
It how is. They do. I mean, all movie. They do is they get up there, get a little computer, and go, do, we hacked you, gotcha. And then they like go up there and like, ha ha, you like our little missile? Ha ha, you can't see us. Like, yeah. What are we doing?
It's, yeah. Don't get me wrong. Stargates are infinitely cooler, but I think for in terms of what as a product was funnier and like got me, it's Independence Day.
I'm coming home.
I also, I found out, Matt, that in the original cut of that movie, Randy Quaid is not in a fighter jet in that scene. He is in the crop duster that he's been dragging around the whole movie.
Dang it, that'd have been so much better.
It's apparently test audiences, the one consistent piece of feedback is, what the hell was that?
Yeah, and that's how we got here. What the hell is Randy Quaid?
Sometimes that's just what you need is a what the hell is that? I was originally, before all this banter, was like, I mean, the thing that is always like the most important in sci-fi is to have limitations. And so it's like, if the Stargate concept of like, you can't just, it's an incredible technology that can basically let you do anything, but you can't just do anything because there's limitations. But that's a lame answer. And now that I'm thinking about it, if Independence Day happened tomorrow, like I could look out my window right behind me and watch it
and
happen.
See Randy Quaid.
Yeah, because I could see the White House through my window. And so and then I could watch the fireworks that happen at the end on real Independence Day.
Oh, that's
Day.
So
true. I guess I should, I think I have to vote for that. I could literally watch it happen from my balcony.
I didn't understand the Stargate because you're like, oh, the Stargates only connect if we build it on a different planet. And I'm like, well, how are we getting to a different planet? So how do you even get a Stargate?
True.
So in fiction, the Stargates are not something that humans built. It's something that they discovered and figured out how to use. So it's an ancient alien race built all of this. And part of like the mystery in the show is what happened to them. And then just using the technology while exploring space and trying to figure stuff out.
You know what
out.
The great thing is? This is literally the premise or the travel of No Man's Sky.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, basically you Did build little that. Portals that look just like Stargates, and that's how you go back. You can just travel across the galaxy.
I mean, and I do love a, like, there were aliens or there were future humans that left something for us in the past so we could figure out advanced technology. That is always a cool concept to me. But
I also want it known that there's a race of alien greys in Stargate, like typical giant big head, small body, whatever. And they are Asgard. And so they meet Thor, and it literally is just this tiny gray alien who's like, yeah, we use like holograms and stuff to like change our appearance, but I'm Thor. And it's so good. I love Stargate. It's such a good series and movie and premise, but I think the ending of Independence Day has to move forward here.
Sounds yeah, good. The Stargate doesn't happen outside my window.
Nope. That's true. So now we're on to friendlies. Yeah. First, there is not really as strong of a theme here, but we got, and this is also breaking the rule because there's no humans in Star Wars, but we have R2-D2 and E.T.
So I'm going with R2-D2 because I think E.T. is bad.
Whoa.
As a movie or as a person?
Both.
Explain the person one.
Yeah.
I'm Why curious. Is he good? He's just like, yo, my finger, go home. Like... You like useless and just like terrible.
But why is he a bad person for that?
I thought
you were
gonna make an argument that like he is morally bad.
I think I think he will be growing up after experiencing that. He just happened to be go through trauma on Earth. Also,
true.
He's very bad.
But Elliot's a good kid. But I guess any Gen Xer is gonna grow up to be a little bit of a pain in the ass.
I think I want to give it to R2 because I feel like R2-D2 is just a trash can that swears at people while he does his job, and that's very funny to me.
Yes, that's great. Yeah. E.T. just wanders around lost going, pull my finger.
I don't think E.T. says a single swear word in the whole movie, which makes him less cool already.
What a great point, yeah. I mean, I love E.T., but like the movie... Less I used to be terribly scared of the vacuum cleaner neck on E.T. That thing gave me nightmares as a small child.
The fun fact about E.T., which obviously changed over the year, especially as we've gotten more absurd and stupidity, but for the longest time, it was the one movie that was always used on Rotten Tomatoes because of the difference between critic scores and audience scores.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Hmm.
It's actually also, renowned with the audience as people think it is. Obviously, nowadays we have these weird whatever and bots and all these other crap, so a lot of mm-hmm. it's just whatever. But when it came out and some of the first like stuff, that was like when they talk about the difference of explaining all these things, that was one of the first ones ever used.
Huh.
That's cool.
I also would just, I'm going to restate for the record a prediction that I made. I don't know, in what, 2019, when The Mandalorian first started, that it's going to end with an E.T. homage where they're riding speeder bikes past a really large moon, and then he makes them fly, and then E.T., and then Grogu's mom comes to pick him back up.
Would love that.
That's how
it'll
the
be past
gonna
the
end.
Sons of Tatooine.
Sure, that works too. But it's going to be an E.T. homage, and he's going to get picked up by his mom, and that's how he avoids being murdered in the Star Wars movies, and that is my prediction of how The Mandalorian and Grogu ends.
I endorse that. I think that sounds right.
So awesome. I went to go check E.T. just to make sure of this, and I forgot that like they can keep you and upgrade it, and so it's not as bad. But then I was like, you know what, maybe I'm wrong. And that clicked, and like there's like, just from the audience alone, there's like 12 reviews from like this year alone giving it like 5 stars, and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot people play this weird game of stars of boost rating things like they do with the IMD like wars. I don't know if we've heard of the IMD wars, but yes,
that makes sense. So we're giving it to R2-D2 for setting people on fire and using swear words.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
All right. Next is Futurama's Bender Bending Rodriguez versus Vin Diesel from Fast and Furious.
But once again, this is also just going to be an easy selection of Bender with no chance. Vin Diesel is terrible. Yeah. And Fast and Furious movies.
I mean, I support it just because I like Bender. Obviously, he has a lot of character flaws to work on, but I do like Bender. and consistently one of the best characters and weirdly committed to like, I guess the fact that he is a robot, like they will do all of these, like rather than just having him be a character, like the fact that he's a robot is written into it, which for being cartoon sci-fi, they definitely didn't have to do, but I appreciate the way that they've done that. And also he runs on alcohol and weird. Apparently my whole vibe for what's cool is, does it swear and drink and like do drugs and start fires, which is not a great metric, but Bender does, I think, most, if not all of those.
To be fair,
things.
I still say blackjack and hookers at least once a week.
Oh, I reference Bender. That regularly.
So Bender moves on for me, no matter what diesel we pick. I still think you should have taken the Riddick one, because at least those movies, it's still funny, by the way,
they're
how we got
space.
We get Pitch Black, which is like this very like horror movie, and then then all of a sudden it kind of like the end with like Riddick, and then all of a sudden we the next like two or three Riddicks. I don't remember how many they got here. It's like just random action movies and like Riddick's like
assassinating
his way across the galaxy, taking stuff, and I'm like, yo, you remember the first movie? It was just some alien horror movie.
It kind of reminds me, the thing that I always reference is it's like a late season Community joke where Abed just says, don't you remember when this was just about a community college? And anytime something gets away from its premise, that's all I can think
of. Riddick is the one that definitely for me, like when I think of that, because it is very much that first movie is literally an alien horror movie. And obviously he kind of gets in there like later at the end character, but like the premise is literally crash landing alien horror.
Yeah. I think if we were to make it Vin Diesel from Riddick, it has more legs against Bender. But I do still think ultimately it loses for me.
It loses for me.
Yeah. I mean, Vin Diesel, I'm a supporter of Mark Sinclair. He treats people well and has made many people very wealthy off of his movies. Vin Diesel does not go to space himself in Fast and Furious.
That's
ludicrous. And the other guy. And so no stolen valor for Vin. But I've been reading a lot about postmodernism recently and the idea that in storytelling, the end of the story is inevitable, and how... Yeah, the fact that they went to space in Fast 9 was inevitable. That is always what was going to happen in the story of the Fast and the Furious, no matter what we could have predicted.
I just love
that
you went totally in the weird direction I didn't think you were going to get to.
No, I was going to say, I don't think I've ever locked in harder than us goofing on Vin Diesel sci-fi movies and Jason saying, I've been reading about postmodernism.
I thought he was going to talk about like the first original ending of... Not the very first one, but like the main ending of Futurama before we had like that weird 2020 spring back, which is so good where they basically get stuck in time with each.
Yes.
Which is very, very good. And I thought we were talking about inevitable where they go of they actually end together with time stuck. Is like I thought you were talking about. And then I was like, oh, no, he's talking about Vin Diesel. Never mind.
Yeah, that was just my heartfelt defense of Mark Sinclair, a.k.a. Vin Diesel. But. No, Bender's still the correct answer.
Yeah. All right. Last bracket, and then we'll go on to round two, is Hostiles. And so first up, we have The Thing from The Thing, and we have the Xenomorph from Alien.
I'm taking The Thing because The Thing in that one movie, at least the John Carpenter Thing, is amazing. And while they have some good Alien movies, they're also, I don't know what the hell they're doing half the time with this franchise anymore. I'm going
I don't know that they know.
I don't think they do either. So I'm picking The Thing because at the end of the day, we know what happens in that movie. And they know that movie is done.
I think I'm trying to decide, is it cooler that The Thing can kind of become whatever it wants? Or is it cooler that the Xenomorph takes on elements of whatever it used as a host when it was gestating?
Well, the question is, do you believe that it should be cool that The Thing became a rock?
Good point. Yeah, I think my affinity is probably stronger for the Alien franchise. Just
got
like,
acid blood.
Just like it's the thing that I have more of a connection to. But you're right that the thing it. Just said the thing that I have more of a connection to, but
I know it's great. I was like, oh yeah, you keep telling about the thing of the thing.
Exactly. See, the thing is inevitable. Capital T, the thing is definitely a little bit cooler of a thing that exists, a concept. I mean, they're both really cool. It's hard. It feels unfair comparing them because they're both very cool and also revolutionary in their own different ways, but there are more ways that the thing can be used and terrifying were it to keep existing. And it shouldn't. For the love of God, don't make more of the things. But the alien concept has kind of a limitation after a certain point where you're just doing the same thing over and over again. And in different ways, except when you're Romulus and you made the guy say all of the same lines that Ridley says just because they were cool lines in the 70s, but they sound really stupid coming out of his mouth. I like that movie well enough, but man, like, just really proving the point of there's only so much concept that they can play off of.
Which goes back to my point why I'm giving this to the thing for me.
Yeah.
I think aliens.
Yeah, I'll give it to the thing.
Right. Totally.
I was with you. I'm like, no, the aliens got some cool stuff going. They got some good movies. There's also, what are we doing sometimes?
Yes. That's fair. I think the restraint that the thing has had, because, I mean, there's the original The Thing from the 40s. There's the remake that John Carpenter did. And then there's the 2011 that one's not a remake. It's technically just a prequel because it's about the other base that got attacked, if I remember right.
I don't care. I don't acknowledge that movie. The movie is so bad.
But yeah.
The 50s version is really good. The 80s version is very good. Whatever happened.
The new one.
Whatever happened with The Rock, just go away.
And Alien is a little too all over the place. And I do like Xenomorphs, but there are times where I feel like the advantages that they're being given are like almost comedic as far as like plot armor and stuff. I should have put the freak from the end of Romulus on this. That thing was unsettling. But last Hostel one, we have Edgar from Men in Black.
I just have to bring up John Carpenter's Dark Star. His like student film from 1974. I had to look up its name because I couldn't remember. But I watched like a buttload of John Carpenter movies recently. This came out before Alien. Does a lot of things that Alien does, and like not as well because it's a student film. But you know, he came up with some of these ideas first and used a giant beach ball as his alien.
How hard is this to find online? Because I want to watch
it. It was on Criterion Channel until last month, so I'm sure it's not hard to find.
Okay, I will look that up. Last one, we have Edgar from Men in Black, and we have Megatron. Both things in disguise, both aliens in disguise.
True, bugs versus robots.
Now, one important distinction here, are we talking... And I know I made this bracket. Are we talking the Megatron that turns into a tank or the Megatron that turns into a handgun? Because that's the original Megatron, is he just turns into a handgun.
Huh. I think you have to consider all iterations of
Megatron. T-Rex Megatron is part of this? Then it's that one.
I'm taking Megatron
it's queer-coded T-Rex
roaches.
Megatron.
I hate roaches.
That's also valid.
Edgar's great because he just like sugar water. I think is it sugar or salt water? I always get it back and forth.
Sugar water.
Sugar water. Yeah. Water. That's great. I remember one night we had played one of them games and I kept going, sugar or salt water, salt water. And I was like, what? And I'm like, never mind. And then I get sugar
it's
water?
Also,
I'm like, yes.
I will say, like, incredible performance by Vincent D'Onofrio in that
film. Yeah, it's great for what he does.
But don't like roaches. Do love Megatron. Do love the version of him that turns into a dinosaur. Jason, you got strong feelings about Megatron?
Not strong, certainly not as strong as you, but I think I agree. Like, yeah, I mean, bugs in a human sack, really, really fun concept there. Mm-hmm. Would like to squish all of them. Cockroaches, disgusting. Definitely lived in a building that was full of gigantic ones at one point, and they're gross. And Transformers are... so dope. I mean, they can transform. Like, they're not just one human sack of bugs. They can transform into anything. I mean, they choose to transform into one thing, but they can transform.
Some of them turn
into
bugs.
Yeah. Things.
Look,
true. Yeah.
Look, if they can ever figure out their live action, I'll be back. But those last two movies have been very bad.
Rise of Beasts was maybe the most disappointed I've
been
in a movie.
That ending is so awful. So confusing, so bad, and so dumb.
The ending is bad, and the fact that the titular beasts are in it for like less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's so bad.
True.
And obviously, I
remember.
But Transformers 1, the animated
movie. Score that
it
probably deserved.
Oh, Beasts you did?
Yeah. But it was like... it came out during a time where there was such a glut of action movies in the first place that I was like, this is better than a lot of the things that have come out recently.
Ah, okay.
And better than, I think, than some of the previous Transformers, not including the animated one.
Which I was going to say, the animated one, Transformer 1 that came out, is actually very good.
Yeah.
I enjoy that movie a lot. Really good. Yeah, that one was awesome. Okay, back to spaceships. Pillar of Autumn versus Lost in Paradise.
I'm going to Paradise. I like Tropical Wings, fifth element. Pillar of Autumn is just a giant piece of, like, log. It just was better than...
That's true. Also, I think technically by the end of the game, it's gone because they detonate it.
Yeah, they pull that thing up, pretty sure.
Yeah. Something about the colonel gets turned into an alien attached to the ship or something.
Oh, yeah. General Keyes.
The general.
And you like find him in like the weird whatever that growth is, like attaching him to it.
He has to like self-destruct to save the day. But yeah, I mean, all the fond memories I have shooting aliens in it, I would rather go on vacation.
That's fair. All right, technology, round two. Replicators that can make avatars versus the ending of Independence Day.
What even is this bracket?
What
is this region over here? The technology region is gone.
The technology region got away from us fast.
Yeah, we should have seeded these just to see how the
I'm still taking went. Independence Day.
Over a replicator that can make avatars?
We can't make Randy Quaid.
True. It can make a facsimile, but it couldn't make the real thing.
Matt, if someone offered you an avatar of Randy Quaid that you could pilot, would you take it? Or would you be like, get me a better avatar?
Yeah, the question is, what am I doing with my quest from that avatar?
Is he a 10-foot tall version of him in blue?
Yeah, it's a 10-foot tall pilotable
Randy
Quaid.
That is the most disturbing image ever.
Can
clearly deserve to move on. Moving on with that one.
Does he have a braid that can commune with Ewa?
Absolutely. Also, I think this episode title is just 10-foot tall Randy Quaid.
I'd love a replicator that could do anything, but I would love to watch Independence Day happen from my balcony, especially if they destroyed this White House. That'd be fun.
I mean, it's already half destroyed.
Yeah, like
so.
Didn't they blow some walls already? It's fine.
Yeah, I haven't been by recently to see the mess, but. Great point. I'm basically watching it every day already.
That's fair. All right, friendlies. R2 versus Bender. We have two robots that cuss. What's good here?
This is a hard one for me.
It is, yeah.
I'm still going to go Bender, but only because I like Futurama more. But R2 is very good. And I think they're both retired at this point.
That's true. I think I honestly could give this to either. Jason, do you have a strong opinion?
I think for as much as my affinity is more for Star Wars, there's more to Bender. So it's like R2.
That's true.
R2, you're imposing your own feelings onto, which is cool and great. And love that about that character, but there's just, Bender's a whole being.
I'm also I feel like, and I could be wrong, but done Star Wars, basically we have to, every new one, we're like, we have to make our own little R2 version. And I'm like, well, we already have one.
That's true. They do. Yeah.
I think, we have BB-8 and then I think Rogue One had one that's kind of like, they always have the sassy cussing robot. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yes.
But now we've overplayed this.
And BB-8 and K2SO are both great and very different from R2. But yeah, I mean, it's a model that there has to be a robot now in every movie.
It has to be sassy too. It has to be at least one sassy one.
One sassy robot. Which honestly, I feel like it worked better when it was, is it, what's the one from Rogue One?
K2SO.
Yeah.
K2SO. I like K2SO. I feel like the fact that I understand what he's saying makes it not work as well. Like part of what's fun with R2 is that he will just beep at someone and then someone gets offended. Or is like, you can't say those things. That's like, this is great. Like R2's just trying to like hack the Death Star and like mumbling to himself while he works. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. I love the little, little oil slick in episode 3.
Oh yeah.
And just the, The little R2 scream.
The R2 scream is iconic. I like that he's basically a Swiss Army knife, and they abuse that so much to make things work. We're like, yeah, whatever. He has jet boosters. I know we haven't seen them in 6 movies, but he has them.
And if you've not seen the George Lucas talk show live readings of the Star Wars movies that they've been doing the last couple of years, they're on YouTube. There's like every 3 months, there's a new one that they've done. They're like live with really great combo of like LA comedians, people you probably know and recognize, and also real actors who you know and love. And like Richard Kind plays Obi-Wan Kenobi in their episode 4. And
beautiful.
Like Haley Joel Osment is Anakin Skywalker in a few of them. But the person who does R2 in every single one of them is so incredibly committed to the R2 bit and brings a lot of energy to it. But like, you know, that's what I'm saying of how like you're imposing your own feelings onto this character, making it into a character for yourself. And so I guess Bender, we've argued a lot for R2, but Bender, it still is.
Yeah, Bender is still just inherently cool. And then, okay, last, the Thing versus all iterations of Megatron.
They both transform. They both,
Matt, it's that we love space stuff and we love sci-fi.
Yeah.
We're doing a silly one.
The bracket is a vehicle for having a conversation about various space things.
Is this back to where The Thing has really two really good movies and Transformers has
But there's also a version of Megatron that turns into a T-Rex, and he has roller skates. He can like turn his feet into wheels and skate around the room in dinosaur form and humanoid form.
And in some versions, he used to be friends with Optimus Prime.
Yeah,
that's true.
But then
he is an ally to workers.
No, he is not.
A little misguided in his enthusiasm sometimes. A little murderous, but he's pro-union.
Was he pro-union?
Kinda.
And he's got an Allspark.
He does. I feel like I could give it to either of these.
I'm okay with giving it to Megatron. Okay? We can go with there.
Megatron can just transform into anything.
Can Megatron withstand the cold? Big.
Also, I want Megatron because of what we have set up the dumbest possible semifinals. So first we have the Lost in Paradise hotel cruise ship Thing versus Bender.
People are going to hate you for not having any of the cool like Star Trek spaceships, any of the cool Star Wars.
We gave them the replicator and it lost.
And
the replicator lost to Randy Quaid fair and square.
There's so many cool spaceships.
The Enterprise looks cool, but it's not. There's nothing special about it.
We have so many cool spaceships. I'm like, yeah, we got the tourist. So many times. We got the tourist cruise line. That's not even the main plot of the movie.
We could have done like a warship from Star Trek.
What are you gonna do? Put the Millennium Falcon. It's a hunk of junk. Like, who cares?
That's true. We only think it looks cool because that was the first spaceship we saw. But yeah, so I want to give this a little bit to Bender, just because, again, my affinity
I'm
for it.
I'm giving this
I
to Bender
Futurama.
Because this is a cruise ship that's literally just a cruise ship.
But think
that's
of
not even like
the
main plot
ship.
Of the story.
Bender could go on the cruise ship.
Yeah. He's a robot. He might get stuck. They might send him out to fix the cruise ship.
That's true. Bender was on a cruise ship. They did a whole Titanic episode.
They did. It's actually
Fair
a really good
enough.
Episode.
I just really am intrigued by this picture of you know, half bald Gary Oldman.
It's intense. It's intense.
The movie aesthetically is a lot.
Yeah, the movie. I think I'm pretty sure, like, the average person probably. That's what it's one. It's French, but it is very much. If you are just looking for a regular thing, you're gonna be so confused because aesthetically, it is all over the place.
Like, I know you said, what if Bender's on the cruise ship? But what if the cruise ship has like 40 Benders?
Is that too many Benders? I think there is multiple episodes of Futurama that deal with how many Benders is too many Benders.
Yes. I'm still going Bender. I don't know how we ended up with a cruise ship.
Yeah, I'll give it to Bender.
But obviously, if you have not watched Avenue 5, you do need to go watch at least the one episode or the one 10-minute part of an episode where they talk about an airlock. and it will explain everything of life and society in that like 10 minutes.
I need to see this. All right, now one of these has deteriorated as I've been filling out the bracket, and we are now at the point where it's Randy Quaid versus Megatron. I have removed everything about Independence Day other than Randy Quaid.
He is a technology that's unknown to all of us.
And not the look, best. I mean, if we're going by the see out my window, I'd rather see Randy Quaid out my window than Megatron. Megatron would be horrifying.
That's very true.
Would you rather see Randy Quaid? The thing is, if you see him outside your window, probably not a good thing either.
Well, if he's outside my window, he's got to be like far away. Like he can't just be literally outside my window unless he's flying. In which I guess he could be, but
is it a 10-foot tall Randy Quaid outside your window?
But then again, if 10-foot tall Randy Quaid's outside my window, or if he's just on my balcony, like sounds like we're about to have a crazy time.
That's true. That's very true.
If Megatron's out there with a tank or a dinosaur, we're not having a good time.
Yeah, that's objectively bad.
I've been buzzed by the military helicopters, you know, when we had the birthday parade. I don't need to get buzzed by tanks too.
That's fair. I feel like Megatron is cooler than Randy Quaid.
Yes.
But I get where you're coming from of not wanting to give it to Megatron because that is a hostile entity.
I mean, Randy Quaid's a hostile technology, according to this one. But to be fair, he does take down an entire ship that had shields. Did Megatron ever do that by himself? No. He does die, thankfully, but, like, that is... Randy Quaid's willing to, you know, just yell America and run straight into Megatron, kamikaze.
That's true.
He probably ended up...
He also yells up yours?
Yeah, if it was Randy Quaid versus Megatron, it would literally... Randy Quaid would win. I mean,
could Randy Quaid kill Megatron with a plane?
Yeah.
All right, we're giving it to Randy Quaid.
He'd go straight for the AllSpark.
Now, I do want to say, probably 15 minutes ago, I saw where this bracket was going, and it landed exactly where I thought, which is our final round, which is Bending Rodriguez versus Randy Quaid.
Of the two worst characters as far as actual characters in one.
Right, as far as like actual quality of person. I'm torn.
I love that you... Wait a minute, why are we... Oh, that is how you spell Randy Quaid. I've seen Randy Quaid so much time on the bracket. I was like, man, we can't even spell Quaid anymore. I'm like, oh, that is how you spell Quaid.
I feel like if we're being true to the fact that this is about space, we should give it to Bender.
I'm okay with giving it to Bender. I think he's an all-time great character. I don't know how we ended up here with Randy Quaid here. Randy Quaid is a terrible person.
I don't know. That was a real dark horse character coming through.
We wanted a real Cinderella story.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'll say. So Bender is made on Earth, travels the galaxy, saves reality at, you know, just Futurama stakes being as nonsensical and huge as they are. At one point, he's a god, and then he meets God. He can be very tall. There's a whole episode of that. I'm trying to think of like all the Bender like weirdness to him. One of my favorite visual gags is when he gets like hit by something and knocked to pieces, and there's this animation of his hand picking up his arm and attaching it, and then he picks up the other arm and attaches it. Like both arms are disconnected from his body, but like floating and reattaching themselves to his body. And it's a very nonsensical joke, but it's very good. And I feel like Randy Quaid just spends most of that movie drunk and then crashes a plane into a spaceship.
He really does. That's all he does. He's just like, I'm drunk and I was assaulted by aliens. Let's kill the aliens.
Bender is also a pharaoh at one point.
The pharaoh's great.
Randy Quaid's also a massive Trump supporter, so fuck him.
Oh, yeah, he's
yeah,
terrible
okay,
person.
Bender. All right, so that is our space and sci-fi bracket, and I hope that people at home enjoyed
this. This was all contingent, the fact that Randy Quaid dies. That's how he got this far.
That's... But Randy Quaid dying still isn't as cool as Bender. But yeah, I think that does it. It was just a fun chance for us to talk about sci-fi and stuff that we enjoy. And I hope that you at home also enjoyed this. It was a weird one, but it was a fun one, and I enjoyed it. If you want more, not of this, but just of pop culture stuff in general, But Why Though has that. We have Blue Sky at ButWhyThough.net. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or donate to the site by going to ButWhyThough.net/support. Everything that you give goes towards keeping the site running, helping us to pay our writers, keep the lights on, make the content that you enjoy. Matt, Jason, thank you so much for joining me. Hopefully you also had as much fun with this as I did. And we'll see you at home next week.
Heck yeah. Godspeed to Artemis 2. Thank you.